Learn more about the fascinating journey of Ibn Battuta, the first ever travel writing by Ibn Jubayr, and the courageous Chinese explorers Hing He. We bring you stories from the travels and lives of nine Muslim explorers that brought us modern-day geography, map-making, and cross-border trade. Mondays to Fridays during Ramadan 2016 at 8:15 a.m. Repeats at 6:50 p.m. The Global Village, the vast expanse of an unknown world discovered.
Muslim civilization always has been mobile, moving, on the go. Both the Arabs and the conquerors from Central Asia were originally nomadic and inherited a tradition of travel. Large armies were constantly on the move. Students and scholars went on long journeys to sit at the feet of famous teachers for the acquisition of knowledge. The wealth of cities depended upon trade, and the faith of Islam asked for the faithful, the most powerful of all reasons for travel, the Hajj. So Muslims traveled the length and breadth of the vast Islamic empires and beyond. Muslims traveled by land and by sea, and through their voyages began an age of travel and exploration, far beyond their homelands, expectations and imaginations.
The beginning of the Arab cartography lay in oral traditions and diagrams sketched on skin, bone or wood. The advance of the Arabs under the banner of Islam during the 7th century meant that itineraries and route maps were required for military campaigns. The ascendancy of Islam both reinvigorated scholarship and required more accurate assessments of time and space. Scholars such as Al-Fazari, working in the 770s, compiled astronomical tables based on the movements of the sun and the moon that were later expanded into lists of towns, complete with the distances from one to the next and the approximate direction of the roads connecting them.
The next four centuries saw a flourishing of Arab cartography, during which the Arabs became renowned for both their knowledge of the world and their achievements in a range of scientific fields. The foremost geographer of this period was Abu Abdullah Muhammad al-Idrisi, born in the 1100s in Ceuta, present-day Morocco. A student at the University of Cordoba in Andalusia, at that time the greatest center of learning west of Cairo, al-Idrisi traveled unusually wide, apparently visiting England, Constantinople and Central Asia. He set in Palermo, Sicily, where he was charged with the production of a book on geography. It was to contain all available data on the location and climate of the world's main centers of population. King Roger himself enthusiastically interviewed travelers passing through his kingdom, and agents and draftsmen were dispatched to gather material, a research process that took some 15 years.
Written in Arabic and Latin and accompanied by maps, it presented the world as a sphere. It calculated the circumference to be 37,000 kilometers, an error of less than 10%. And it hinted at the concept of gravity. Following the classical Greek tradition, al-Idrisi had divided the world into seven climatic zones and described each in turn, supported by 70 longitudinal section maps, which, when put together, made a rectangular map of the known world. This was complemented by a smaller circular world map in which the south was drawn at the top and Arabia, being the site of Makkatul Mukarramah, was depicted centrally.
Al-Idrisi's book came to be known as Kitab Rujar. Roger's book and the circular world map was engraved onto a silver tablet. Sadly, both the book and the silver map appear to have been destroyed during civil unrest shortly afterward in 1160. Thus, our understanding today of al-Idrisi's conclusions is based on an abbreviated version of a second book that he wrote for Roger's son, William II. Manuscripts of the so-called Little Idrisi are held today in a handful of European libraries.
By any measure, al-Idrisi's work is a milestone in the history of cartography, one that foreshadowed many of the European discoveries of later centuries and served as an inspiration for centuries of Muslim thinkers, including the celebrated 14th century historian Ibn Khaldun.
Yet, to Europeans, these revolutionary maps, actually made in a European court, remained unknown for some 450 years, until a version of al-Idrisi's second book was printed in Rome in Arabic in 1592, and in Latin several decades later.
Despite al-Idrisi's second book, The precise nature and extent of his work and that of earlier geographers remain frustratingly uncertain. With most of the original documents now lost, there is often little or no evidence to help understand exactly how these scholars of the past pieced together their comprehension of the world.
However, in June 2002, an academic library in Oxford, United Kingdom, discovered a unique 11th century manuscript of maps and routes. Although the author of the book is not known, research shows that he was well acquainted with both Sicily, where El-Idrisi lived, and Egypt, where they speculate the book was compiled. Of key interest is an oblong map, quite possibly could be from the last map of Al-Ma'mun, making the latest and most exciting recent discovery in the ongoing study of the history of cartography.
The earliest navigational instruments were devised to use the sun, moon, and stars to calculate location and distance. For more than 2,000 years, navigators have known how to determine latitude by measuring the angle of Polaris, the North Star, above the horizon. Such measurements were the basis of earlier cartography, and Arabs became renowned for their skill in this area, constantly improving the instruments that were used to make these calculations.
Their early tools included the kamal, a small, flat parallelogram with a hole in it, made of horn or wood, with a string threaded through the hole. It was used to measure latitude by fixing the altitude of Polaris. The navigator held a knot in one end of the string in his teeth and drew the string taut with one hand. With the other hand, he moved the piece of horn alongside the string, closer to or farther from his face, until the bottom edge of the horn was aligned with the horizon and the top edge was aligned with Polaris. He then made a second knot in the string where the horn was. By making the first reading at the time of the ship's or caravan's departure, and by similarly marking and comparing later readings, it was possible to keep track of changes in latitude and thus arrive at a rough estimate of how far the navigator had travelled north or south of the departure point.
By the middle of the 15th century, similar information was calculated more precisely using a quadrant, a two-part instrument of wood or brass, a plumb bob hung either from a string or from a freely rotating arm, and provided a fixed vertical reference against a 90-degree scale whose zero point was sighted on Polaris. The resulting angle was a direct reading of the navigator's latitude. However, the quadrant's dependence on a plumb bob limited its use to land or calm water. It could not be used from a rocking ship.
The most elegant and complex of the instruments was the astrolabe. Invented in classical Greece and brought to refinement during the 8th and 9th centuries of our era by Arab scientists, who subsequently introduced it to Europe in the early 12th century, consisting of a framed circular disc around a series of similar discs or plates set on a central pin. An astrolabe shows the sky outlined on its face, and the movable components are adjusted to reflect a specific date and time. Once set, the entire sky, both visible and invisible, is plotted on the face of the instrument and can be used to calculate both distance and direction. With various refinements, the astrolabe remained the most important cartographic instrument up through the 18th century. It was an astrolabe that Carsten Niebuhr used to produce his groundbreaking results in Arabia during the 1760s.
Join us in part 3 as we learn about Al-Khwarizmi and the House of Wisdom, inshallah.
The Global Village has been researched and compiled by Hafiza Rayhana Umar, narrated by Ijaz Khan and Tufail Patel, overseen by Mufti Yusuf Musaji, a production of Radio Islam.